Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report, chatting with Mark Chandler. He is a managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex. And Mark, that's where we're going to start today, in the currency markets. Here is the U.S. dollar. The dollar's been just under an immense amount of pressure this month. After rebounding for the first 3 months of this year, the dollar started April somewhere around that 93 level, just above the 93 level, and has dropped almost every consecutive day. I'm seeing only about 5 or 6 days the dollar has up just this month. Every other day, red candlestick, and the dollar right back to, let's say, 90.5, in around that level. Either way, the dollar looks like it's bouncing a little bit at the end of this week and also at the end of the month, but Mark, do you foresee continued dollar weakness here and pressure on the dollar after just how bad this month has been?
Yeah, so I think that it does look ugly. Like you say, it's fallen almost every day, and especially when you think about how strong it was in Q1. But I think that a lot of people, are leaning the wrong way on this right now. I think that a couple of things I'd point out. One is that the dollar typically turns, say recently, in the last 6 months or so, the jobs data or the month end really marks a turning point in the near-term trend. Secondly, I think that the dollar index's down move that we've seen this month seems to me to be really a correction to the rise in Q1. And the correction, it looks to me, is just about over. I'm looking at a number of different currency pairs, and they test extreme levels, say upper end of their ranges, like 140 in sterling, 78 cents in the Aussie. And those levels, they're flirted with. They're frayed on an intraday basis, but the close tend to be weaker. In fact, sterling hasn't closed above 140 since the end of February, and the Aussie's only closed once above 78 cents since the end of February. And that was very early March. So I'm seeing these signs and technical indicators are turning. I fully accept that here at the month end, there might be some market, like fund manager, investment funds, adjusting positions and hedges. But I think this is a turn, and I'm looking for a stronger dollar next week, helped by the anticipation of another very strong U.S. employment report.
So, Mark, what levels are you watching for this dollar rebound, and any idea time frame-wise how long a dollar rebound could last?
Well, I like what you said about support around that 90-50 area. If I'm right, we should be getting above 91-50 next week, maybe on our way to 92. And that 92 level is where the 200-day moving average comes in. That seems to be a reasonable, like, guesstimate on the bounce. I think we, you know, in the bigger picture, the reason I'm still a dollar bearer is that I think that the Federal Reserve is lagging terribly behind other central banks, and that this is going to let the U.S. economy run hot, as they say, which in turn causes a wider trade deficit and continues with this large budget deficit. And so I'm concerned that in the big picture, the twin deficits continues to drag the dollar. It shows, you know, I think that the contrast is last week, the Bank of Canada said, you know, the economy is performing better than we thought. We're going to begin tapering. And we think the economy will absorb the slack in the second half of next year. The Federal Reserve, Powell, tells us a few days ago that it's too early to even begin talking about tapering. Not a rate hike, but just tapering, taking the foot a little bit off the accelerator, slowing the amount of bonds being bought. And so I think that this is a factor that comes back and haunts the dollar, but I don't think it's a crisis. I don't think the Federal Reserve is worried about a weak dollar or that it's lagging behind central banks such as Canada or Norway or Australia or the Bank of England.
Now, this is an interesting topic to go down because I haven't heard many people talking about the strategy the Fed may be having when it comes to lagging in terms of tightening monetary policy and the impacts on something like the dollar. The Fed, I think we all agree, is okay with the dollar being under a bit of pressure. We've seen almost a global effort here by each country to kind of weaken currencies, to help out trade. If the Fed is lagging behind other central banks in terms of tightening monetary policy, then it does keep pressure on the dollar. Any other impacts to other sectors that you think would be critical to understand this strategy here?
Well, I don't know if it's a strategy. I don't think the Fed is aiming to have a weaker dollar, but I don't think it minds a weaker dollar. I think that, what does a weaker dollar do for the U.S.? Well, typically, as a central bank, you want to have your currency going the same direction as monetary policy. So easier monetary policy should drive the currency lower. That's the desired impact. Otherwise, if the currency were to strengthen, then it's offsetting some of the monetary easing the central bank's trying to provide. And by many measures, it's not like the dollar is so expensive right now either. In fact, if anything, that's really the surprising thing, is if you look at the top 10 the G10 currencies, and use the OECD measure of purchasing power parity, the euro is the most undervalued currency, off 16%. The Swiss franc is the most overvalued, over 20%. But most of the currencies are, say, plus or minus 5%. And that's sort of typical of major countries. So that implies that the dollar is not really so far out of balance, where a little bit of dollar weakness should be, a few more percentage points should be problematic for the Fed. Also, a weaker dollar is consistent with the Fed's push for higher inflation. If you want, one way you can get higher inflation is through a lower currency. And you can see this in countries, we talked previously about Turkey. The central bank meets this in the week ahead. And part of the reason they have so high inflation is because the currency has lost roughly a third of its value in the last year and a half.
So, Mark, I guess you are right in the sense of a lower dollar does help the Fed in the inflation aspect. And the Fed has been very boring in the sense telling us that they are not planning on changing or tightening monetary policy anytime soon, within the next year or even two. With this weak U.S. dollar, though, how much of an impact do you think that has had on the commodity sector? As we have seen commodities almost across the board, outside of precious metals, although there are a couple precious metals, that have been breaking to, at some points, new all-time highs. How much has that been the dollar weakness, especially this month?
Yeah, I think that might have contributed on the margins. But generally, why are commodity prices high? From where I sit, and again, I only look at it through like a large macro level that I can see through foreign exchange. But it seems to me that two big sources of demand are emerging. One, of course, is China. And the other, I think, is not just the U.S., but it's especially the U.S. Europe is maybe 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 2 months behind the U.S. I see that in the vaccine. I see that Germany and France are going to have enough vaccines for all adults to have access to it, say, by the middle of next month or June or something like that. So it's coming. And people are anticipating stronger growth in the euros. So on the other hand, there's some supply disruptions, too. And I think about especially within the grains, with the poor weather. But in general, I'd say that the weakness of the dollar in this month gave the commodities a bit more of a fillip. Just like today, at the end of the month, the dollar is getting a bit better bid, and I see the CRB index backing off.
What about China's role, too, in the purchasing of metals and also the purchasing of certain food commodities? Do you see them continuing to play a big role?
Yeah, I mean, isn't that a surprising thing? I mean, it's hard to know when is the Chinese appetite satiated. I thought that maybe it was satiated last year in the metals because the inventory levels had been rebuilt. But yet I still continue to see reports of them buying more. And the same thing with the grains. I mean, China has been buying a lot. I just see the U.S. reports. I don't know what they're buying from Brazil or other countries. But I do see them having stepped up their purchases of wheat and corn. And then you look at a, it's not a grain, but you look at the commodity like sugar, which is also making new highs. And that's, and I don't really see China as a big player in that market.
So what does this mean for commodities? What is driving commodities? Is it this overall kind of inflation pickup narrative? Is it the fact that there's so much money that's in the system that naturally some of it is going to land in the commodities? What do you think is a couple or one or two of the key drivers behind this commodities rally?
Yeah, so to me, like whenever I see a very large and sustained rally, I often find that it's what I'd say is overdetermined. It's not just because of supply factors, but also because of demand factors. And so I think that what's driving commodities is relatively low inventories, some bottlenecks in supply. For example, one thing that the U.S. and Canada watch closely, of course, is lumber prices. And why would lumber prices be so high? Well, partly the area in Australia where they grow the lumber has been largely decimated by forest fires. And they're wildfires. And so for me, I'd say commodities are being driven by lean inventories, supply disruptions, and anticipation of stronger demand.
So, Mark, outside of, let's say, the U.S. dollar or currencies broadly, and also the commodities, where do you see as key markets or sectors to watch to get a little bit more of a handle on where money's flowing and trends, more longer-term trends that we can bank on?
For me, and I don't want to like simplify this, like watch is one thing, but if there was one thing to watch, I'd say the U.S. yield, the U.S. 10-year yield. I see a lot of the currencies moving, as you'd expect, lower yields, things those other currencies go up. It's not coincidental that the dollar is having a fairly, a decent week. The U.S. dollar maybe the best week of the month. And you've got the U.S. yields rising about, I don't know, 5 to 8 basis points this week. Not a lot, it's all on the margin. But I think watching the U.S. Treasury bond seems to me to be the most important, broad indicator, even more important than U.S. inflation expectations, since the Federal Reserve just brushes those aside.
So, Mark, then let's look ahead to next week. This week was full of a lot of data points and the Fed meeting and even Biden outlining more spending. Next week, what do investors need to be aware of? What do you think will matter?
So next week, probably the economic data that we get to most countries will be reporting the PMI, that Purchasing Managers Index. But the preliminary estimates do such a good job that sort of steals the thunder from the final report. Instead, I'd say that in terms of economic data, the U.S. and Canada both report the jobs data at the end of the week. And another strong number is expected in the U.S. I think the median is close to another 900,000 jobs.
Wow. So that should help out. Again, more the U.S. dollar, I guess, leading into more U.S. dollars. But Mark, overall, it does seem like the dollar under pressure this month. But if you're calling for a rebound, we do need to be aware of what markets that'll impact, because not a whole lot of people are referencing a dollar rebound. Let's wrap it up here, Mark, because there's a lot to understand, especially when it comes to currencies, commodities, and also where central banks stand. But the central bank aspect, we, I think, have heard it nonstop from the Fed that they're not doing anything anytime soon. Mark, thanks for your time. Great chatting with you on this Friday. I look forward to chatting next week, and have a great weekend.
Thanks. Good luck to everybody.